Good afternoon. You know, I don't appreciate Jenny enough. Thankful for that song, His Promises. He's never broken one. But I just want to acknowledge Jenny, great mother, great singer, great teacher of the word. Just want to give her another hand, please. We're thankful we have her in this assembly. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we are here. We're not here to see each other. We're here to see you. We're here to hear your word. Lord, seeing each other is just a benefit. It's just the topping. Lord, as we open your word, we pray for open hearts, open minds, that you'd be received. Lord, I'm way out of my comfort zone here. You know I'm very uncomfortable, but Lord, we know that your power will come through me. Lord, that's what I pray, that you be glorified, that your message will be conveyed, and Lord, that anybody here that hasn't committed themselves to you, Lord, we pray that this would be the day. Again, we pray for your word. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go dive right into the word of God due to time limits here. 1 Kings 3:5. We're going to talk about Solomon briefly. Here we go. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Wow, what a statement. And we all know Solomon asked for wisdom. No, not to be smart, but to be wise. There's a big difference there. We're going to skip now to verse 10. Verse 10. It says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you. Nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." And that's true. To this day, no other king has been wealthy or being honored like Solomon. Verse 14. And here's the condition God gave Solomon if he wants to continue to have this undeserved blessing. It says, "And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Solomon did. Solomon remained true for many years. He had everything to live a godly life. 1 Kings 11:1. I apologize for skipping through verses. Again, due to time, I want to do this. 1 Kings 11:1. King Solomon, however. Yeah, we're going to stop here. There's a change that happened here, and it's not good. The word, however, ranks among the most loaded of words. It changes the good report to a conditional report, or it softens the blow of a bad report. Solomon's life was fine until we came to his however. Solomon's however was his love of foreign women. He yielded and intermarried with them, the very thing God asked him not to do. God warns against giving into our howevers. Same chapter, verse 4 now, and I'm going to read this twice. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. I'm going to blank out some words, and I want your help to put in your input here. As blank, put your name in there, grew old, blank turned his or her heart after other gods, and his or her heart was not fully to the Lord his God. What's in that blank space this morning? That's our subject today, fully devoted. Not fully is another one of those loaded words inflated with implications. Yes, he still served God, but Solomon merged with other beliefs into his life. King Solomon's fall was not sudden, but gradually. It didn't happen overnight. It was rooted in a combination of personal choices, spiritual complacency, and the dangers of getting too involved with the modern world. Solomon died a broken man, disillusioned, and spiritually insensible. He thought he could have it both ways. He merged the way of God with the way of the world, and the world swallowed him up. Today, we're going to stop studying about Solomon now. Today, we're going to examine ourselves. Full devotion. Is it placed on God or something else? That's the question for the day. Folks, be on guard. Relearn his ways. Make sure you have them right. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, I will give you a long life. In our day, millions of Christians have been swallowed up by the world. They have intermarried with the culture. They worship God, but are not fully devoted to him. Sometimes we even think we're still doing God's will when he repeatedly shows us we're defying it. We get so blindsided that we put our priorities before his. Our main concerns have climbed up the ranks, and God's priorities have settled at the bottom. So what choice do we give God? He allows things to happen to shake us. Now, I'm not a props kind of a guy. Here's a salad dressing in front of you. I think it's a great analogy of what I'm going to be explaining. As you can see, there's a separation. The good stuff is in the bottom. Is that our life today? Is God's priorities in the bottom and our priorities on top? So what does God do? Shakes it. Look what's inside. It's messy, it's turmoil, there's chaos. Is that what our life is like? Sometimes we try to fix it our own selves and we make it worse. Maybe God's trying to tell us something. Maybe his priorities have gone to the bottom. The only solution is to surrender to the God who is. The turning point of our lives is when we stop seeking God, the God we want, and start seeking the God who is. A total resurrender is the antidote for the heart not fully devoted to God. So, Alan, where should our full devotion go? I'm glad you asked. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord, watch this, added to their number daily to those who were being saved. Amen. But notice verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves. It's a whole different level of commitment. The churchgoers were dedicated. Other translations put it this way, they continued steadfastly. Another translation says, they were regularly present. Another one, they were loyal, and yet another one, they steadfastly persevered. So in summary, this wasn't something they did at first and then moved on because they wanted something more dynamic. It wasn't just a phase in their life, it became their life. Apostles' teaching. That's basically the studying of the Word of God. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. This is where our full devotion should be placed. Yes, there are other things that should matter, like preaching the gospel and serving the community. But these are the main vitals of a Christian, the essentials of a church. You can't preach the Word of God if you're not studying the Word of God. You know, when you go to see your doctor, they check your vital signs first, right? Your temperature, your weight, and your blood pressure. It's an objective snapshot of your overall health. The last time I went to the doctor, it's embarrassing to say, but they check my temperature. You know, they put the probe under your tongue to make sure you don't have a fever. Next thing you do is you go in the weighing scale, which never works for me. I always thought it was broken. You know, the nurse tells you your readings, and you're like, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's right. Does your scale add a few pounds? So what did I do? I took off my jacket, took off my wallet, my phone, my keys, almost took off my shoes and my socks. The nurse looked at me like, I don't think that's going to help. It's my only a half a pound maybe, right? And then there's the blood pressure, which is another story. So these are a snapshot of your overall health. Well, it's the same thing with these four that we just mentioned. It's a snapshot of your spiritual health. You want to detect problems? Check these lists first. Most of the time, we can figure out where the problem is just by assessing these vital signs. My first point, apostles' teaching. Apostles' teaching today means learning the Word of God. This was necessary for their growth, and it's the same necessity for our growth as believers and as a church. It teaches us how to live for Christ in our daily lives and how to be on mission for Christ in this world. Scripture is vital in a Christian life because the knowledge of God is a knowledge which is gained only through the Word of God. In other words, if you want to know more about Jesus, get to know your Bible more. Everything we study in that blue room, everything that we study for the women here, is based solely on the Word of God. We don't study people's opinions. We're not analyzing men's ideas. The Scripture is our main authority. As I get to know my Bible, I'm getting to know my God. I'm starting to understand who He is, what He likes, what He hates, what He wants from me and you. I get to simply know my Jesus. Now, you can learn a lot about God by looking around you. In fact, you can look around at your world and understand that God is powerful and creative, very artistic. Yosemite, the beautiful beaches in Hawaii, massive waterfalls, huge valleys of assorted flowers and stunning rainbows. I've been through these gorgeous places. It's all majestic, isn't it? But if I want to know about God, yes, I can look around these great things. But if I want to know God, I don't look to the world. I look to the Word. I don't want to know more about creation. I want to know the Creator. Real quick, Psalm 19, let's read it real quick. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. Verse 7. Now look what it says about the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. You want to reboot your mind? Go ahead, look at creation. But you want to refresh the soul? Look at the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Keeping to verse 10 now, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Folks, what we have here is more precious than gold. Do we treat it that way? Or are we looking for somewhere else? So if we don't get fed by the Word of God, which is our spiritual nourishment, we become weak and malnourished. Read it, retain it, treasure it, but most of all, apply it and allow it to change your own life. Second, fellowship. You cannot thrive as a Christian without fellowship. In fact, I totally believe you cannot survive as a believer without fellowship. It is that quality that transforms the churchgoer into a church member. It's the difference between someone saying, I go to church, and somebody who realizes, I am the church. It's where you get to build relationships with people and do life together. You get to pray with each other, care about each other, share with one another. They also hold us accountable, and that's what I need. We get encouragement, give encouragement. We shed tears and walk through the dark valleys in life. We also share laughter and joy with our good news. The New Testament church in Acts 2:42 was born on the day of Pentecost, which is the proof of that truth, that God designed people to live their lives together. Fellowship is not a spectator event that happens only on Sunday mornings. It's a common shared life with others. When we fellowship, we gather with a goal. What is our goal? We gather simply to stimulate each other to spiritual growth. That is our goal. Not just means hanging out. It's more than social gatherings, being social over spiritual matters. Let me ask you a question. Can you be a Christian without a church? Maybe. Let me ask you another question. Can you be a football player without a team? I mean, I guess you could. You could put on that fancy jersey on that helmet and all that gear and go out into the field and throw that ball. But it's not as much fun as getting on a team and playing against another team. I think it's safe to say, and it's not a stretch to say, that to fail to participate in the life of a local church is to disobey a direct command in Scripture. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves. They didn't say they liked. Let those words sort of marinate in your heart for a minute. It means they were all in. They were in it to win it. In sports, they say there was skin in the game. These days, we have what it's called convenience fellowship. I will fellowship with you only when it's convenient for me. You know, as long as there isn't a game on TV, I'll be at church. As long as I don't get invited to another event, I'll be at church. I used to do it, believe me. Or I just don't feel like going. Not today. That's convenience fellowship. You know, if somebody in your house asks that question, hey, are you going to church this Sunday? Your answer ought to be, will the sun get up in the morning? Absolutely. One of Sylvia's Bible studies stuck with me when I was a young Christian. I thought it was a great illustration of how we need each other and the importance of fellowship. I'm pretty sure you've heard of it. You know, when you barbecue in your backyard and you light those little charcoals on fire, if you remove a piece of charcoal from the burning set of coals and separate it, in a few minutes, that little thing will burn out. It needs heat. It needs the energy of the other coals to stay on fire. And the more those coals are together, the heat and energy output becomes greater and stronger. Third point, the breaking of bread, our worship. Our brother this morning brought up 1 Corinthians, and that's what I'm going to share this morning. Now, the breaking of bread here primarily refers to the communion table, the recalling of the Lord's Supper. Why? Because we're simply forgetful people, for one. We would take his sacrifice for granted if it weren't for the worship service. You know, I'm amazed that in Jesus' last moments here on earth, one of his last words on the dinner table with his best friends were 1 Corinthians 11:24-26. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The Lord's Supper is an act of remembrance. It was not a request, but a command from Jesus. A command from the Lord, but an honor and privilege for us. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. is fully dedicated to remembering what he's done at Calvary. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful for his abundant blessings daily. We should all be. But Sunday mornings, it should all be about Jesus' sacrifice, his death and resurrection. Nothing else. It's not about his disciples. It's not about the major characters in the Bible, nor the miracles he performed before the cross. It's about proclaiming his death until he comes, as the verse says. Those elements we took this morning, the bread and the wine, represent his body that was marred beyond recognition. And his blood was spilled, which was the only thing capable of forgiving our sins. We are proclaiming the Lord's death and resurrection so that sinners might know that they can be set free from their sin. It is through the death of Jesus Christ that the power of sin and death has been defeated. Amen. My last point, prayer. Ooh. Prayer is not just talking to God, it's also listening to him. I need to get that in my mind. David, in Psalms, David would say in Psalms 5, verse 3, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." But we also read in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." The part of praying is not only doing all the talking. Sometimes it's being still enough to know that He is God. To incline a listening ear to hear what the still small voice of the Lord says. Our world is so noisy and so loud that we need to come before the Lord in quietness of heart and just pray and seek His face more than seeking His hand. See, often we have this tendency to run to God and when we want to seek His hand. What can we get from God? But it is more beneficial to run to Him to seek His faith, to know Him more, to spend time with Him more, a special communion and fellowship with Him through prayer. You know, I can never say I have prayed enough. As a matter of fact, this is one of the vitals I am weak on. I know I can pray more. I'm good at asking and putting in my requests, but I need to listen and obey more. And it's not like we are telling God anything He already doesn't know. When we do speak because He knows all things, it is inviting Him into everything in our life. And it's not just wanting to see the hand of God move, it is also wanting Him to move my heart to bring my life into conformity to who He is. In conclusion, devotion is love in action, not just an emotion. It requires a daily commitment and discipline. How's your study of the Bible? How's your fellowship life? How's your worship life? And lastly, how's your prayer life? You know, after this service, you'll be heading home. Perhaps forget about this message in a few days or in a week. And I don't blame you. It's okay. It happens. But I want you to at least remember the analogy of the dressing. As you can see, the good stuff is starting to settle at the bottom again. Shake well before using. If your life is in turmoil or chaotic, check your vitals. Make sure your full devotion is in the right place. Amen? Let's go ahead and end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word always. Lord, it's the captain of our ship, Lord. That's where we get directions. It's our manual in life. Lord, help us to obey it and help it change our lives, Lord. Please help us put our full devotion in the right places. Thank you for this reminder, Lord. I know I need it. We pray now for everyone that you would just dismiss everyone. Bless their day, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.